Okay, so we're continuing. The concept of honor and honoring one's wife. We said, not to God forbid make jokes at her expense. We said that it's no one's business, the arguments and discussions that go on between the husband and wife. Now, there's a tip that I give Hasanim, and you guys won't have to hear it. I'm telling it to you now. And I say it usually right after they get engaged. I'm going to give it to you in its entirety because Mitzvah, soon all of you will get engaged. Even though not all of it is relevant to this specific point. Your parents love you. And they love you like no one else loves you. Parents care for their children very, very much. For many years, they've been taking care of you. Began with doing your diapers, and then doing more diapers, then getting up at 2 in the morning and doing a diaper. And then in the morning again. You can tell where I'm holding now. 4 o'clock in the morning, they did another diaper. And at 5 o'clock, when you wailed and wouldn't calm down, and they were dying to get a wink of sleep, they paced the floors with you and burped you. And when you finally burped, they said, boy, that was wonderful. No one else does that. Your parents do that. Your parents. Yeah. Your parents.
Your kids going to listen to this?
I don't know. I don't know. Your parents do everything. Did. And hopefully do what they can to help you. And they've invested a lot. And by the way, part of love, and an integral part of love, is what you invest in. Rav Akiva Tetz quoted some research that they did about a woman who was separated from her husband during World War II. And she remained with 4 of the children, and he remained with the infant. And years later, when they were reunited after 4 or 5 years, but the infant had already grown up, the 5-6-year-old child. And she said that because she hadn't killed herself for that child, the first 5-6 years of life, like she had for the other children, so she always felt that she didn't have the same love for her as she did for the other children. Love develops when we give. Not when we receive. If you love me, you'd get me. No, it doesn't work that way. If we love someone, we give that person. So your parents have been giving you for many, many years. And their connection with you is very, very deep. Now the same thing is going to be true with your wife and her parents. Now what happens? You get engaged. There's this girl, the daughter-in-law. For her parents, there's this guy, the son-in-law. They're going to call you son, and hopefully you'll call them mom and dad. Abba, Ima. I highly recommend it. It's very, very good if you could. Even if they say, no, call me by first name basis today, that's common practice. I would refuse and ask them if they don't mind. You should get used to calling them Abba and Ima. And I strongly recommend you start in the beginning when you're engaged already. Because the more you push it off, the harder it's going to be to get used to it.
What's the reason?
What?
Why do you say that?
What's the reason? What's the reason? Firstly, it'll help you not be disrespectful. You owe them respect. They're not. They could be your parents, and you owe them respect. More so, it'll develop a bond between you. There's a difference between a guy you call by first name basis and a guy you give that name that no one else gets, Abba and Ima. And thirdly, and I'm not sure that this is the order of importance, maybe thirdly is most important, for your children, they're going to have a concept of grandparents as being people who your parents are connected to. Not for him, he's Avi and she's Sarah. It's very important for the children. Your children in the future, very often children who grow up in a home that the parents both call, both sets of grandparents, Abba and Ima, until they're very old, they don't know who's whose parents. If the parents are smart enough that they don't speak badly about their in-laws in front of their kids, and hopefully never, then the children don't even discern. They just know that's Saba and Safta, that's all. And if you start calling them by first name basis, then you've automatically brought them a step down. So those are three reasons why I recommend it, but there are more reasons. You want something? Okay. I wasn't sure. Okay. So our parents have invested a lot in us, and then suddenly along comes the bride. Her parents have invested a lot in her, and here comes the future son-in-law. Some people could develop a relationship with the in-laws that is much better than their relationship with... There was a girl who I know who, after she gave birth, she went to her mother-in-law for a month to rest because she felt so good with her mother-in-law as opposed to her mother. So you should know that you could forge tremendous bonds with your in-laws. My mother had a job, a full-time job, and she knew she couldn't take care of her. She couldn't help her with the baby. She couldn't. So in-laws are a tremendous asset, and they should be viewed as such. But it's a relationship which has to be cultivated. As opposed to your parents, where the bond's there before you begin to understand what's going on in the world, there's a bond. With our in-laws, the bond has to be cultivated. And one of the ways to cultivate it is to be careful what we say to them and what we say about them to our spouse and what we say to our spouse about our parents. Meaning, a couple comes to their in-laws and the in-laws say, you know, for the wedding we got a great band. They're the hottest rock band. They do break dancing. They got these fancy lights. Just what you guys need. It'll liven up a Machon Meir wedding. You guys, it'll be great. I'm telling you. And you're thinking to yourself, gee, not exactly what I had in mind. So you could say something, or you could be smarter and say, wow, you did so much research. That's amazing. You took so much time. I really appreciate it, and you should appreciate it. They did take time. They did do research. You go to the back room, or you walk out of the house with the kala, and she'll look at you and say, huh? Well, is that what you want? And you'll say, no, it's not what I want. But why should I argue with them? Let's talk about it, decide what we both want, and then you'll come back and talk to your parents. The rule that I recommend for couples is that the couple do not discuss in front of their parents what they want. They discuss it in their private quarters. What do we as a couple want? And then each one speaks to his own parents, his or her own parents. He shouldn't argue with her parents. They're married half a year, and suddenly the parents come in and say, we have a surprise for you. We're going to vacation for a lot. Our special beach is there. We don't know if they're mixed or separate, but come on, you guys, it's on vacation. No one knows what's going on. We got a special hotel. Come, we got you tickets, and next week you guys are with us. So if he's a smart chassan, he'll tell them, wow, that's amazing, you thought of us, and you invested the money, and blah, blah, blah. He knows how to show appreciation. When they'll get to the back room, I'll tell her, look, you know we can't go to such a hotel. You know we can't go to such a beach. And anyways, I got obligations. I got tests. And then they'll figure out a reason why she can't go. Where she'll come back to the parents and say, you know, we appreciate it so, so much. It happens to be next week. I have these exams and those exams and I have this wedding of a friend. And it's just not going to work. You know, in the future, maybe it's not the proper time to discuss the future. First to show appreciation. And she'll tell her parents why it won't work. But it's always recommended not to discuss it, not to argue with your in-laws. What do you have to argue with your in-laws for? Let your wife do it. And as far as your parents, so the reverse is true. Why should she argue with your parents? If they want a hole that she doesn't want, so she shouldn't say anything. And this is something that I recommend. I tell the chassanim usually, and I tell them, you speak to your kalas, speak to the brides, and this should be an agreement between you. And the agreement extends beyond this. Let's say they sit you down and they say, we want to know what you two think. Tell us. We think this hall is just right. So, the agreement...
They have more say than...
1 second. That's a different question. That's not a question for this class. That's a question Thursday night. Remind me. No. It's a legitimate question.
Night?
Thursday night, we have open session. You could ask whatever you want. But here we're talking about post-marriage. I'm just giving examples that'll come up when you're engaged.
You're talking about engagement, though.
I'm giving an example from engagement. But that point is a good point. Remind me. I want to get to it Thursday night. The proper answer is, I think, that we'll discuss it and we'll get back to you. You don't have to have your arguments or your discussions in front of them. You as a couple have to discuss and you'll get back to them. What sometimes happens is one side
says yes,
can elevate his side by signing with the parents. You know, I agree with them. I'm with them. What do you say? Now she's left alone. That's not right. You as a couple have to come to a conclusion what you want, and as a couple you'll come back to the parents, and whoever it is will deal with the parents however they deal. Obviously it's not foolproof, it's not 100%, but it avoids many, 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 many arguments. Now, you have a choice what to quote in your life. You're going to hear many things from your parents about your wife. Some are going to be positive, and some are going to be even more positive. So quote the more positive ones. I'm using gentle terms.
positive and more positive, right?
Right. Okay, so we'll talk accurately. Chazal said you should speak in positive terms so long as you're not worried you'll be misunderstood. So here, I want to make sure I'm understood. If your mother said that she dressed horribly for the engagement party, obviously don't quote that. If your mother says she made an amazing cake, so do quote that. So there are two
really
points. No, there are two points here. No, you'll be surprised how many guys quote everything their mother said. They think that's called being faithful to the girl. It seems at this point in your life
you're
done.
Certain things you should not tell you. We talked about this before.
Yeah, you don't.
Certain things that you like. If it's so negative, you should never.
Not if it's so negative. If it's negative at all. Not if it's all negative. Any negative comment that
was
made.
I think it was any negative comment is what you said. You try to brush it up a little bit.
No, you don't have to mention it. Any negative comment that was made by a parent about your spouse, you should not quote. Halachically, you're not allowed to quote. It's Lashon Hara.
Right,
and if it's a positive comment, so that's what you have to look for and quote. Your mother says, I don't know how she juggles so many things. She's such an organized kala. Quote that to her. You're strengthening the bond between them. Your father says, you know, I can't believe how her parents set up such a beautiful engagement party. Quote that to her. You have to look for positive things to quote. That'll strengthen the bond. She says, you know, your mother has a beautiful hairstyle. She has an excellent taste in jewelry. Quote that to your mother. That'll strengthen the bond between them. Look for the positive things to quote. And of course, be careful never to quote negative in both directions. And this has to be an agreement between the couple. The same thing you have to tell her when you get engaged. This is something that you think will help the bond between you.
She thinks your hair is really nice. She goes, what's with my hair? The thing is the opposite.
Guys, there are a few tips which I've gotten feedback on a consistent basis, and this is one of them. Every chassan that I've given this tip to, I think, has come back to me and told me this is the most amazing tip that I've gotten for the engagement period. I'm telling you this now because not all of you are going to be around here when you get engaged. But this is a tip for life. You don't quote negative things, and you look for the positive. You look what positive things you could quote both ways. Both your parents that she said about them, and both to her from your parents. And the other thing that we mentioned is to be united in the front. You come as a united front, your opinion is united towards the parents, and if there has to be something that you have to discuss where you're not exactly in agreement with the parents, so each one speaks to his own parent. You don't speak to your in-laws when you disagree with them. That's not your job. Let your wife deal with that. She knows when to talk to them. She knows how to talk to them. She'll know how to do things much better than you will. And even though you're the husband, you're the man of the house, so let the wife of the house deal with it.
What else even makes more problems? Like, did he tell you to say that?
Oh, so no. We agreed on that. We're together. It's true. That sometimes comes up. Sometimes the parents even see through it. And even then, you're better off when it works through her.
No, let him say that to me.
Well, let him say that to you. It's not his opinion. We discussed it. That's our conclusion. And I don't think parents will say that.
I can tell you from seeing so many fights.
If she admits that he told me to say that, it's not that he told me to say that. We agreed as a couple that's what we want.
She caves.
That's not right. So that's something you have to discuss. And
which is weak. What are you going to do?
Okay, so then each case you have to think about it, right? Yeah, each case you'll have to think what to do. But this goes back. That's why we brought her in here to the concept of honoring her. There's one home and there's one decision. And when we talk to our parents, so it's not I think this way, it's that's what we as a home have decided to do, and that's something that's not so easy to live up to. But like everything, once you get into the habit, so then it gets easier and easier. The habits are always hardest at the beginning, but form good habits. And next week we'll continue with regard to the kids.
Yes.
And say that. Any questions? Okay.